Hey guys, welcome to this week's episode of the Leadership to Wealth podcast. I'm your host, Neil D'Souza, and we get into it. We talk a lot about real estate, but really we get into the mindset that an investor, an entrepreneur really needs to have and develop, and some of the trials and tribulations that you go through in doing that. As well as later on in the episode, we get into whether he is a buyer or seller of real estate here in 2024. And so on today's episode, guys, a real treat, Harry James. All right, guys, welcome to this week's episode of the Leadership to Wealth podcast. I've got an experienced real estate investor, serial entrepreneur. This guy's been around, done it all, and he's happy to share with you from his vast knowledge and experience. And, you know, on today's show, we've got Harry James. Harry, great to have you with us today.
Thank you, Neil. I really appreciate being here, man. It was good seeing you at Gary's event. And it's always cool to kind of converse, hang out with people that are like-minded and are trying to, you know, be better today and tomorrow. So I'm all in.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I want to kick off with I don't know if it's a simple question, but it's sort of a question because you've talked about how you built your own real estate portfolio so far. And I know that you've said in past interviews, guys, if you want to check them out, it's got lots of different interviews out there. You've talked about OPM, OPM, OPM. Yeah. And the question that I get is that people ask, you know, is it better to build, you know, a real estate portfolio on my own, like for me, or is it better to build it, say, as a group, as a partnership, and maybe you get a group of people together and you guys go ahead and try to acquire properties? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I do. Well, first of all, my version of OPM has never been partnerships and joint ventures and all that stuff. My version of OPM has always been, if I can tie up a $1 million property and the tenants pay it off for me over 20 years, it's the renters that are building my wealth. So that's always been my version of OPM. I know that, you know, it's kind of evolved to, you know, there's people out there on the internet that says, you know, we built a fantastic portfolio and we didn't put a penny in of our own money. Now, you know, maybe because I'm 62, to be honest with you, that kind of stuff makes me nervous, because if somebody doesn't have their own skin in the game or their own money in the game, that's a red flag for Harry James, to be candid. And I'm not putting down those people that do that. It's just not been my laneway. When it comes to, though, I've had many partnerships, and a partnership to me is about chemistry, much like a marriage or any other type of relationship you might have in business. If there's great chemistry, if there's common goals, not divergent goals, in other words, you don't want to do a deal with somebody that wants to flip and you want to buy and hold for the long haul. So as long as there's good chemistry, mutual trust and respect, integrity, partners are fun. It's better to be on stranded on a desert island with somebody than by yourself when you're going through tough times, right? So it'd be better in this current environment to have somebody that you're crying in your beer with, as opposed to being alone. So I think partnerships, when it's the right chemistry, the right people and common denominators in terms of integrity and the vision, I think partners can be great. I've had many in business, not just in real estate. I've had fantastic partners in restaurants, quarries, sports stores, financial services companies, and frankly, without them, I wouldn't have grown and been able to accomplish some of the things that I've accomplished. And many times a partnership, 1 and 1 equals 4, 1 and 1 doesn't equal 2. So when you have the right partner, it's exponential to your growth.
Yeah. It very much like Think and Grow Rich, where, you know, it's not just, you've got one brain and I've got one brain, and they actually multiply one another. And so
100%, you know. But let me add this, please,
yeah.
Neil.
Yeah.
You're better off 100% to do it alone than to do it with the wrong partner. The wrong partner can ruin your life, steal your joy, steal your time. It's like marriage. You're better off sleeping alone than walking down the aisle with the wrong person. So you do want to take partnerships very seriously. I think too often people flippantly jump in. Just because you have money and an idea doesn't mean I should do business with you, and vice versa. You've got to take the time to date, to get to know each other, to make sure the chemistry is there. And like anything, do your due diligence. You know, how does a person treat their wife, their children, their neighbor, the person at the drive-through? You know, by observing, you can learn a lot about your potential partner, because they're not going to change just because they're in partnership with you. In other words, if they're an ass, they're going to prove that over the period of your partnership.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's funny, when I was younger, I remember seeing things blow up in my face, and where partners would, you know, stab you in the back. And I, for, oh gosh, at least 20 years, wasn't interested in it at all. I'm not tying myself to anybody else and not taking that chance. And it's only been recently that, you know, like I'm going to say in the last less than 10 years, that I've started opening myself up to partnerships such that we're direct partners. And one of the things that I saw about that was I recognized that I'm grown up, shall we say. I'm grown up. And I trust my ability to assess, you know, the other person, to make judgments. And I realized I had closed myself off for so many years because I just didn't trust it. I'd been burnt and just didn't trust it for all those years. And now I realize, oh, I know what I know. And I can trust myself to go through the due diligence process. And if things don't work, if I get a hint that this person is not the kind of person that I want to be with, I'm going to call it off.
Well, I think the other thing to keep in mind too is, like, we're fallible, broken human beings, right? I mean, it's like dating. You know, you could have a long-term relationship and you find out, you know, they cheated on you or they lied to you and you break it up. Well, it doesn't mean that you don't keep pursuing the next person that might be your soulmate. And too often people get hurt in business or stabbed in the back, they say never again. Big mistake. I had a horrible partnership that created torture in my life for 6 years of my life. And had I taken the attitude, that's it, I'll never have a partner again, I wouldn't have my partner now, Joe Ferrara, in a construction, a phenomenal builder. And we wouldn't be creating the magic that we're creating today had I been still stuck in the hurt of the past. We need to let things go. We need to keep evolving. We need to keep trusting and believing in the fellow human beings. And just because somebody screws you or somebody has an agenda of being greedy or ripping you off, doesn't mean that the next person is going to be that way. And we've got to have faith in the human condition moving forward, I think. Not just with partners, but with renters and with people that lend you money or people you borrow, you lend money to. There has to be that faith.
Absolutely. And I guess what I see about that is there's what really happens is that you stop trusting yourself. And once you're able to do that, then you're able to get back out there and be able to trust other people.
Absolutely.
Because I get a lot of those questions, and where people will ask me, you know, hey, I've got three properties or I've got four properties. I don't know if I should do, you know, if I should get another one because it seems like too much work, or if I should maybe partner with somebody and get something larger, all of this kind of stuff. And everyone's trying to figure out that way. Now, you know, I normally will share with them, you've got to look at what you want. You got to look up the road and what are you trying to build? And then allow partnerships to come in, or you keep it out. You've got to look at what you're actually trying to build. I think oftentimes we just try to do something. We don't plan the thing out, and you go ahead and buy this, or you go ahead and you're going to try to flip this. Hang on, does that fit as part of what you're trying to achieve long term? Or are you maybe buying yourself another job, or, you know, more headaches or whatever it is? You've got to look at what you actually want for yourself and for your family, right? And for your life. So
I think one of the common problems, Neil, frankly, is people are just trying to make money, and that'll never work ever. If you're just pursuing money or pursuing power or pursuing, hey, look at me because I have a Ferrari or I have a big house. I mean, I'm still sick of seeing people sitting on their private planes or on a beach with a headset. I mean, I don't really get it. I mean, at the end of the day, money should be a byproduct of doing something that you believe in, where you feel you're making a contribution, and it's fulfilling something that's important in your life. The minute you pursue money itself, the money will elude you. And I think that's, I mean, that's, there's all sorts of evidence to prove that. And to your point, I think it's an excellent point. Most people don't take the time to push the pause button, look in the mirror and say, hey, what do I really want? What do I want to experience? What do I want to have my family experience? What do I want to contribute to my neighborhood? How can I make the world a better place? Yeah. How can I grow and stretch? So when you don't take the time to visualize and really figure out what you want, you're really just transacting. And transacting is existing. And that might explain, you know, our mental health problems, addictions to drug and alcohol, and a lot of the problems we have in the world today is because most people are living somebody else's definition of success.
Yeah. I, you know, having done this, I recognize it's sort of like an arrow without an arrowhead. You know, you can still fire that thing, but it goes all over the place and it doesn't get to the target. Right. And I've noticed that even with when you're trying to make money, you know, oh, great. There's this avenue and that avenue and this, and you can go all over the place. And then you get somewhere and you're like, I don't know that this is where I wanted to be or what I wanted to do. And then you have to take a step back. Now, I think that's what you're sharing and what I've seen from having done it that way. And hence the reason for the podcast, you know, hey, let's share with some people so that we can save them some of that headache of, you know, going
well, let's make it perfectly clear. Harry James has got his black belt in failures. I'm not suggesting I've done it right the whole way along. You know, when I started out when I was 18 years old, I had the privilege of having a whole pile of people, seniors that were at the, I'm going to say the ends of their career, speak into my life. And their wisdom is has paid dividends 1,000 times over. But I think one of the reasons you're doing this podcast and one of the reasons that I always say yes to podcasts and speaking anywhere is because if my failures in any way, shape or form can inspire or encourage anybody, it's worthwhile. The problem is people step back and they look at you or they might look at Harry James or somebody that's built a company and say, well, that's for them. It's not for me. I don't have the pedigree, the background, the education, the confidence, whatever it might be. And the truth of the matter is it's for everybody. It's for absolutely everybody. Whatever your vision is for your life, whatever you want to, however you want to live, whatever you want to accomplish, it's there for everybody. And by doing these types of podcasts, hopefully we can get that message out. It's not for anybody special. It's not for special degrees. It's not for special, levels of intelligence or whatever the case may be. It's for anybody that has a true desire to become the best version of themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I've heard you say before that you don't look up to anybody. You don't look down on anybody, but you don't necessarily look up to anybody as you're sort of talking about sort of, I guess, that confidence piece. And it's interesting because I was just telling my wife yesterday, I said, you know, I think I only like to hang around with people that I think are smarter than me. I'm just sort of noticing that. But then I hear what you say and I'm trying to contrast that. Can you share a little bit more about your thoughts about that in terms of being around people?
Yeah, I mean, well, first of all, I mean this from the bottom of my heart. Everybody, every human being to me is equally valuable.
Yeah, absolutely.
The guy that's standing on the street with a cup that wants to wash your windshield is just as important, is just as valuable as anybody else on the planet. And I think we have to honor and respect every human being. We don't know what they've gone through. We don't know what their upbringing is. We don't know what hardships. I mean, some of us, and you know, life isn't fair. One of my books I read years ago, The Road Less Traveled by Dr. Scott Peck said, look, the first thing you have to recognize in life is it isn't fair. It just isn't fair. If you walk through life trying to reconcile everything and make 1 and 1 equal 2, you're gonna end up in an insane asylum. Life isn't fair. Why does that young family get wiped out by a drunk driver? There's no answer for me on this side. I just have to accept it and keep moving on and trust that somehow it's all going to make sense down the road. But if you get bitter and angry and resentful about it, all that does is eat away at you and makes you a horrible human being. But all that to say, I don't judge anybody. Yeah. Fame in our society is revered. Like, you know, somebody's famous, they can kill somebody and treat people like a jerk. And that's okay because they have money and fame. It's kind of sad. And so I guess I've probably personally stepped back and said, no, I don't care if you're worth $1 billion or 52 cents. I'm more interested in who you are, what your integrity is, what your character is. And I also know this, you also have pain. You also go through stuff. You also wore diapers. You're just like me. You're just like me. And the only thing that separates you and I is a little bit of experience and some time. So I respect people's accomplishments. I celebrate people's accomplishments, but I don't look at them and think, well, you're better than me. No, they're not. And I also don't look at people that are addicted to drugs or alcohol or down in their luck or gone bankrupt 4 times. And I also don't think I'm better than you. Not by a long shot. But you know, the human condition is a human condition. We all have one life to life. Life is fragile and finite. And it's my job to try to make my little world better. I want to leave every single person I come in contact with better than how I found them. Whether it's a compliment, an encouragement, a smile, a leg up. But if we all did that in our own little backyards, I think the world would be a happier place. And I think people would have the confidence to accomplish a little bit more. You know, the tongue's a very powerful thing. It's proven over and over again. A compliment, an encouraging word can keep somebody from taking their life. But the same token, a derogatory, angry comment can be that final straw that pushes them over the edge. It's a real responsibility when you're interacting with other human beings. And you want to ask yourself the question, do you want to make a deposit in that human being's life, or you want to make a withdrawal? And Harry James chooses to try, I'm not perfect, but to always make a deposit, no matter who they are or what the conditions are.
But Harry, in this business, in real estate, if I act like that, people are just going to walk over me. What do you say to that?
People have said that about me because I do get taken advantage of. My philosophy is always take the high road, kill them with kindness, do the right thing. I've written checks that I didn't need to write, and I've taken care of people I didn't need to take care of. And my view is this. If my guiding light is to always do the right thing, and they're the ones doing something that I personally believe is not the right thing, they're the ones that have to live with that, not with me. But I truly believe that I've always been rewarded, or in some way, the opportunities have always opened up in spite of the fact that maybe there's been some pain along the way. But it doesn't change my energy, because I believe thoughts and energy are real. And you kind of draw the people into your life that maybe appreciate and respect it, the way you operate. It's like our projects. You'll say, well, Neil, you'll say, Harry, you're building that to make money, right? Well, your listeners can go on to harryjamesenterprises.com right now and look up Beachwalk Place. It's a condo we built in Coburg. We did not build that to make money. Every balcony has sunshine. Bathrooms aren't stacked on top of bathrooms. Kitchens aren't stacked on top of kitchens. There's rooftop patios. It is a work of freaking art. And Joe and I built that to say, let's build something that we can be proud of that makes a contribution to the shores of Coburg, and something that people say, wow, wouldn't that be a cool place to live? And guess what? Money was a byproduct. Even though we didn't make as much in terms of cash in our hands, the value went through the roof. People love living there. They pay premium rents to live there. And I can walk by and say, there's something I've contributed to the landscape that's going to create happiness for families for generations to come, long after I'm gone. That's how Joe and I approach that. And so you might say, well, you know, in the hard world of real estate and making money and negotiating, that's a little airy-fairy. Hey, look, it's my journey and it works. I don't need your endorsement. I want to live my life, not yours. You live yours. It's like when I used to go down to Florida with the kids. We pulled them out of school in February. The teacher would say, why don't you go to Florida when everybody else goes to Florida on March break? I said, you want to raise these kids or can I raise them? Because I'm going down in February because it's not as crowded and I want to spend some time with my family. 1 week of school is not going to change the trajectory of their life. You got to have the confidence, the conviction, the intestinal fortitude to live your definition of success personally and in business. And there's the other problem too, Neil. We're always looking at everybody else to decide how we should operate.
Yeah.
Why don't you look in the freaking mirror and decide how you should operate? Why don't you look at your integrity, your passion, your goals, your conviction? Yeah. Forget about everybody else's. Because there's 1,000 different ways to carve out a meaningful, well-rounded life where you can make a contribution. Live your life, not somebody else's.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, actually, it's funny. People ask about that and they're like, well, I don't know if I've got the confidence. And I'm always like, I don't really care if I've got the confidence or not. And, you know, when you say about making those decisions, I'm like, to me, confidence has nothing to do with it. I'm going to make the decision or I'm not going to make the decision. And that's about it. If this is what's best, just because everybody is taking a shortcut does not mean that I have to take a shortcut. I'm allowed to choose for myself and I reserve the right to make up my own mind. I think I heard that from Brian Tracy 30 years ago.
Absolutely.
And he said, always reserve the right to make up your own mind or to change your mind.
Absolutely. You know, it's like, somebody says everybody cheats on taxes. Well, I don't. Does that mean, like, when I say to my kids, don't lie, I really should be saying to them, listen, when you lie, just don't get caught? I mean, if you're cheap on taxes and then you're telling your kids don't lie, it's incongruent. It doesn't make any sense.
Right.
So it's just, again, it's just.
And you know it. And you know it.
Sure.
And it brings it compromises every decision that you make because, you did it here.
Too many people are sucking and blowing at the same time. Look, I heard Zig Ziglar say one time, give more value than you expect to get in return.
Yes.
And I think when you do that, when you truly pour yourself into something, you're trying to create a great experience for somebody, your compensation will be just fine.
I know you don't regret the path that you've taken. You've done a lot of different things. You've learned a lot of lessons and I can say the same thing, but if you had the opportunity to go back and maybe build a little bit differently, if you were to do things a little bit differently, what might you do differently in terms of how you built that than what you did?
My wife, who's a lot wiser than me, said to me once, you should be able to get to live your life twice. Because then if you went back, then you actually would do things differently. But the truth is, we torture ourselves with, woulda, shoulda, coulda's looking back.
Yeah.
But when you go through your life, you make the best decisions based on the circumstances at the time, based on the confidence, perspective, the books you've read, the people you've met, the education you've had.
Yes.
You make the best decision in time. The problem is we get down the road, we learn a lot more, then we look back and criticize ourselves. That's nonsense. Because if you push the rewind button, you went back there, you'd make the exact same decision.
Yeah.
Now, ask me what I've said to my son, who I'm very proud of. I'm proud of all my four children, obviously, but he's running a business. And I said, look, actually, I've said this to all my kids, but predominantly my son. I said, look, don't live life the way that I have, because I would say that I have the propensity to handle a tremendous amount of stress, ambiguity, and anxiety. I think that's the entrepreneurial condition. We're always waiting for the shoe to fall. We always think, okay, when's this going to break? When's the big bill going to come in that I can't afford? When is the sales going to stop? How am I going to repeat what I did last year? It's just a constant state of anxiety.
Yeah.
I would say since I was probably 18 years old, I've lived my life like I'm on the starting blocks of a 100-yard dash waiting for the gun to go off.
Right.
That constant state of, if I could change one thing, it would be having the maturity and the mindset to not constantly be in that state, because it's anxiety filled.
Yeah.
It served me well. Don't get me wrong. It served me well. But often I was so focused on the goals that I missed the moment.
Yes.
I was so focused on the next target that I missed the moment. And I was probably guilty of spending my life like I had an unlimited bank account of time at certain segments in my life because I was so driven, so focused. So I think if I could push the rewind button, I would try to have a little bit more balance in my younger years and not take myself so seriously. I don't take myself anywhere near as seriously now as I did when I was in my 30s and the 40s in the grind. I think I would have a softer version of Harry James if I could push the rewind button.
Yes. Yes. I've actually apologized to my kids, because one of the things that I recognized was, even though I was there, I wasn't always present. And I look, and there's so many times where I'm like, I know I was there, but I don't have the memory, because I was thinking about something else. I was thinking about what to do next. And so if there was a regret, I suppose, you know, like what you're sharing, that would be the thing.
I'll stick my neck out and say that was financial stress. That's what financial stress does. You see, financial stress does this to you. You will be physically in the backyard with your children, but if your subconscious is working on how to pay that MasterCard bill or how to take care of that real estate problem, it's very difficult to be fully present. So you're physically present, but you're not mentally present. And I think the secret is creating that mindset, that perspective, and that attitude where you can have your cake and eat it too. Took me a long time to get there, but that's one of the things that I love talking about today. I have the ability, notwithstanding what's going on in my circumstances, to be at total peace and fully present and enjoy the journey no matter what. I accept problems and I'm thankful for problems. That means I'm alive, and as an entrepreneur, I get paid for solving them. My younger version was not so chilled about that.
Yeah. I've done the looking, and what I see is that for me, it actually wasn't financial. It was insecurity. I lived with this idea that I wasn't good enough. And that chewed me. Actually, I have no problems with it, because it drove me. But it also distracted me, because no matter what I did, no matter how much you made money here, I didn't care about it, because it was what's next. I've got to do something else. I got to do something else. And if I didn't do that, then what does that say? See, you know what? See, clearly you're not living up to your potential. And every day, Harry, every day I woke up, guys, okay, I'm going to give it to you real. Every day I woke up mad. I was already mad the moment I woke up, because I already knew that I hadn't reached some ideal potential the day before, and that I probably wasn't going to do it again today. And just being able to let go of that has made a world of difference for me in terms of being able to be present with people and with my family, and being able to apologize to them and say, look, I realized this is where I was, and being able to make that change.
Yeah, I think Neil, you just raised such an important point. It's almost like a little bit of imposter syndrome, but there's a couple I want to comment on there. First of all, for everybody that's listening right now, one of the reasons that we do not achieve financial success, it's not lack of opportunity, it's not lack of skill, it's not lack of ability. It's that the person does not feel worthy of the success that they are pursuing. Therefore, they will subliminally sabotage it. That is an absolute fact.
Yeah.
I just did an interview the other day, and you know, it's interesting, and this is scientific based. This is not Harry James. Everything I'm saying is not Harry James. This is stuff I've gleaned over 40 years sitting in the sun of the best personal development people in the world. But we are 1/3 our parents' DNA and the generations before them. And we're 2/3 the schools that we attended, the religious institutions, the books we've read, and the people we've met. We have a baked in program. It's baked in.
Yeah.
My computer sitting on my desk right here, if I push a button to have it spit something out, it's going to spit out what it's programmed. Yeah. If you've got a governor on your head that says, my parents never made more than 100, my uncles never made more than 100, I didn't know anybody made more than 100, I don't really, I wonder, people that make 100 are special, you'll never make 100. I could almost offer you a job, giving you 100 grand, and for some reason you find a way to screw it up because you don't feel worthy of the job offer. Yeah. It's the neighborhood between the ears that needs to be addressed. And this is what, and it's so simple. It's so simple, But people don't understand the only way you can change the outcome in your finances, in your relationships, in your spiritual life, in your physical and financial health is by changing your mindset and removing the governor. And the only way you can do that is through something called repetition and replacing the programming with new truths that you not just ingest, but you digest, that become part of your DNA. And it's repetition, 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 meditation every day, 30, 40 minutes working on your mindset. And I'll tell you, Neil, 98% of the people I tell this to nod, smile, and say that makes sense. And 90% of the people I tell this to don't do it. They look at the next workshop, the next book, the next podcast, the next this. There must be something else out there. It can't be that simple. Folks, yeah. It is that simple. Human beings are built a certain way. We operate a certain way, and it's never going to change. And there's so many brilliant people. The one thing that every single personal development person will agree upon is you become what you think about, and you will, that will be sabotaged by your self-image. And the only way to change your self-image is to change your mindset. Absolute fact.
Yeah. Okay. I've got a funny story. I did some personal and professional development courses, and I actually had some of the instructors come up to me and say, how separately, quietly, you know, got a phone call, said, how are you achieving what you're achieving? And I said, well, I'm practicing what you guys have taught. And they literally said, do you know how rare that is?
Yeah, exactly.
I said, I just practiced what you guys were teaching. And they said, yes. And they were just calling to confirm, but it's such a rare thing for people to actually practice, you know, when what you're talking about with your mindset, to actually question some of these things and then take it into practice. It's so rare, but yet it can completely be done.
What I just described is as provable as gravity. But here's the problem. It is 100% is as provable as gravity. The power of the subconscious mind, the power of making decisions, the power of moving forward and taking a step of faith and believing in yourself, it's as provable as gravity. But here's the funny thing. People will go into the gym and they'll transform their bodies, lose 40, 50, 60 pounds and become ripped. Yes. They can see. People will change their diet and they'll feel healthier, sleep better, and get in great physical health. Maybe you can get off diabetes pills. Now, what I just described is just as real. The problem is they can't see the physical change. It's a mental change. Yeah. And you know, the problem with things that are like the law of gravity, somebody says, I don't believe in the law of gravity. Well, jump off my building here and you'll become a believer real fast. When it comes to mindset, people are skeptical. You talk about the power of the subconscious mind, skeptical. The power of self-image, skeptical. But what's so funny is there's evidence after evidence. You know, you can go Tony Robbins, Bob Proctor, Dennis Waitley, Zig Ziglar, John Maxwell, everybody. And the common denominator is just that. And there's proof after proof after proof, right to the point, Neil, and these are old studies, where a basketball team sits and visualizes doing free throws for a week. They don't go on the practice court. And then the other team that's competing against them is on the practice court every day. And at the end of the week, they have a competition, and the people that practice free throws in their mind are just as competent and just as proficient as the ones that did it physically. This is the beauty, the brilliance of the human brain. And we just, it's on the shelf. And like, if you have a tool on the shelf and you don't pull it down to use it, it's useless. And many of us, the analogy I'll give, we just had a snowstorm up where I live. Many of us, instead of using a snow shovel, are out there with a teaspoon moving the snow. If you don't use the power of the subconscious mind, if you don't use the power of meditation, the power of weeding and feeding and having the proper mindset, you're basically shoveling your driveway with a teaspoon. Right there. And there's so much, you don't have to spend $10,000 to go to a conference. Everything I'm talking about is right on the internet for free.
Yeah. And just to share it, one of the things that allowed me to let go of that one insecurity was someone just said, it was as simple as, you don't have to hold on to that. And it just seemed peculiar. And I sort of stopped and said, I don't have to? It had never even crossed my mind that you can let go of those things and move forward. It's like, oh, no, this is just the way that I am. And someone said, you can let go of it. You're whatever that was. You were a kid when that happened.
Yep.
You're an adult now.
Yep.
You don't have to. Wait, you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to make a different decision. And then I heard Brian Tracy in my mind, you know, about making being able to change your mind. And I thought, oh, my goodness. And I think a lot of people have those things, whatever it is in their mindset. And they think, well, this is just the way I am. I've got to hold on to it. This is who I am. And they don't realize the ability to just let go of that. You can let it go. You can sit it down. If you want to, you can pick it back up. You can go back to it anytime you want. But what if you just tried life without those fears, without that insecurity, without the, you know, you're going to sabotage. If you want to, you can always go back to it and sabotage yourself. Feel free to choose that. But in the meantime, how about you just put it down for a second? And yeah, that was something for me.
I think a great example on the personal side of our lives where that can really cause serious harm is I've known people that had a fight with their mother and they were hanging on to, I'm right. I'm right. And the mother dies. A note in the coffin does not alleviate that pressure, that those regrets. There are no rewards in life for being right. And there's many rewards, however, for, to your point, letting things go. Anger, resentment, bitterness, jealousy, they just eat away at the container in which they reside. When we let these things go, forgive, look forward, say sorry when it's not even your fault, not pursue a partner in court because he ripped you off. That's his character problem, not yours. When we rise above this and take the high road, and I always tell my kids, take the high road, the sun is always shining, there's no construction, and there's no traffic jams. And if you live in the high road, letting things go, not running around with a spreadsheet saying, but I was right and they owe me. And when you do that, it's a very, very liberating way to live your personal and your business life.
Okay, let me ask you, we've got a few minutes left here. Let's look at 2024. Here we are. Real estate in Ontario.
Yeah.
Are you a buyer, seller? What are you in real estate in Ontario or Canada?
Harry James is an entrepreneur.
Yes.
James, for 40 years, and as I said, I've made many mistakes, but for 40 years, I've been a value investor, which means that if this cup here that I'm sipping out of, if I know this cup is $2 market value and I can buy it for a dollar, I'm buying it. I don't care if interest rates are 19%. Or 1%. Yeah. And when I run my numbers, if I can figure out a way to honor people, make some money, create a contribution to a community, then I will do a deal with that particular cup. So right now, there's too many people, and maybe some of your listeners, that are focused on interest rates, the economy, the war. In other words, the global situation, the global economy. Global picture. And my suggestion to everybody is look at your personal economy, because that's what you have full control over. Mm-hmm. Are you investing in your education? Are you investing in your health? Are you investing in your key relationships? Are you keeping your antenna up and looking for opportunities in this environment that could make some fiscal sense from a business standpoint to generate revenue or to add to your portfolio to create equity? So I don't want to sound like a crazy martyr here, but I love this market. I mean, imagine if you could go shopping at Christmas time, 2 days before Christmas, and there was nobody in the mall. It would be fantastic. You know, you go in the stores, nobody's there. Well, when I'm shopping for real estate right now, there's not a lot of people around. I just put 3 offers in the last 2 days. And I don't have multiple. I don't do multiple offers. Never have done a multiple offer in my life. That's not investing. That's called speculating or gambling. But I'm doing deals right now and negotiating deals right now. I'm waiting to hear back right now. One expires at 6 o'clock today because I've run my numbers with current interest rates, current building costs, current situation, current supply and demand. And I'm seeing some pretty exciting opportunities.
Yeah. So
if I can, as a value investor and somebody that wants to contribute to our portfolio and create some nice places for people to live, if I can come up with something that makes sense, I'm going to make it happen. And that's really the way that we operate. So we get up every day excited. I'm on the road once a week. We're constantly looking for opportunities and deals. We're managing our current portfolio. This is just a beautiful time to be in the market.
Yeah. Well, okay. Here's the question. Everyone's questioning the value right now because we're watching as values are dropping definitely in the residential sectors, in certain areas. And then people are also questioning values based on in Ontario, what they're dealing with regards to tenants. There's been a lot of, I don't know, we'll call it mutiny, where tenants aren't paying or because they're dealing with something as well. And so when you're looking at properties now, you're having to reassess what is that actual, what do I need to buy it at? What's that value based on what I could run into, looking at the storm, looking at what's going on in these different areas? Well, how long can I hold out?
Hold out for what though? This is what I don't understand. I'm not a flipper. Okay. Yeah. I don't flip stuff. I'm a buy and hold guy. I'm as boring as you can be. Okay. You're with me for 15 minutes, you're going to be asleep. I want to make money over 20 years, not 20 minutes. Okay. So as a buy and hold guy, the only thing I regret in real estate is the stuff that I sold. So as a buy and hold guy, here's how I do it. Honestly, this is simple. People listening to this.
Listen up, guys. Listen up. Take notes. Here we go.
They'll laugh at me. They'll think I'm unsophisticated. They'll think I'm an idiot, but here it is. Let's say this one, I put an offer in now. I buy it. I'm not planning on it going up a penny.
Yeah.
Not a penny. I am planning on other people paying it off for me over 20 years. I'm also planning on getting market rents that were probably based statistically are going to go up every year. So I'm planning on adding a top to my revenue that's going to be free flowing 20 years from now. And as long as I manage it properly, treat people with respect. See, real estate is a business. The problem is a lot of time people look at real estate as a transaction. Real estate is no different than running Apple or running a manufacturing company or running a quarry. Real estate is a business. And I wake up every day to problems, furnaces, water heaters, bad tenants, payments going up $5,000 a month because of a renewal. Insurance companies not insuring the building because it's 120 years old. Every day I wake up and I'm faced with problems. Thank God, solvable problems. That's what we get paid for. But our business of real estate is challenging. It's hard. But I know two things about real estate. If you persevere, and you treat your properties and people with respect, you will win. Frankly, all you have to do in this game, even if you overpay, even if rates are high, even if you're not that good at what you do right now, all you have to do, Neil, is last.
Yeah.
That's it. You just need to last. Hang on, fight through. Don't go with the masses. Don't go off the cliff. Don't listen to the news. Just last because it's cyclical. But the reason I don't expect my properties to go up is because when they do go up, because inflation makes every loser real estate agent look like a hero. Inflation covers up all my sins, all of them.
Yep.
But if I just plan on other people through something called rents, paying off this asset that I happen to have in my name that someone else is paying off, what a beautiful formula for creating wealth. And it's the reason that it's one of the most reliable formulas in the last 100 years for people to get up to the level where they can enjoy the lifestyle and the experiences that they desire, because it's a level playing field. It doesn't matter if you have a grade two education or you have a PhD. Real estate's a great vehicle if you look at it as a business. Now, I got my phone ringing every day right now. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Well, you chose to get in the business. What you're going to do is get creative and figure out how to solve the problems. And for me, that might be in the past, bringing in partners, renegotiating mortgages, a change of use, leaving my house and living in a basement apartment, whatever it would take. But failing is not an option. And when you go into it with it's a business and you're committed for the long haul and failing's not an option, the creative juices in that brilliant mind that we all have on our shoulders somehow comes up with a solution.
And that's why they say real estate is get rich for sure.
Long term.
Yeah, that's right.
You got to remember, when we're in market cycles and a strong wind, even turkeys fly. There's people that went on the speaking tour purely out of luck. There's people that are hosting master classes purely out of luck, purely out of riding a wave. This is the market that determines if you have the intestinal fortitude, the skill set, the background, the ability to truly navigate and build value and keep going in a real estate portfolio. This is the market where you're finding out who knows what they are doing.
All right, Harry, I'm going to remember that first of all, but final question, what are you up to these days? What are you on to for this year, and how can people get a hold of you?
Thanks for asking that, Neil. So I am now 62 years old, and I've been so fortunate. I have four children. My sixth grandchild is due. I'm never going to retire. I believe retirement's a lie. It should come with a warning label like cigarette smoking. The human body doesn't know how old it is. It just knows whether it's needed or not. So I'm really excited about the future, really excited about building our business. But I'm at a stage in my life, thankfully, because I did persevere and we did make some more good decisions and bad ones, that I'm doing the things that I want to do and hanging with the people that I want to hang with. And also I have the privilege to spend some time trying to encourage and inspire other people, which is why I'm loving doing your podcast today. So if you look at my business life, I am a partner with my son in HJ Group, which is an employee benefits firm. I'm really just the gray hair there. When they want some credibility, they do a great job running it. We run the Live Real Factory, which is a boutique event center in Markham, Ontario, where I host workshops. I'll be hosting workshops for mindset to try to inspire and encourage fellow entrepreneurs and kind of point them in the right direction. I'm a partner, as I think you know, with Sarah Larby at inspirebeachresort.com, which is in Cobequid. We're going to be doing inspirational. We're actually going to host our very first festival, Mindset Festival, in June of this year, where we're going to get people together like mini Woodstock, where it's people that want to grow. We're going to have speakers and music and you know, health and vitality and all sorts of a group of people together and kind of have this phenomenal experience there. We're fortunate enough, my wife and I, to live in Bahamas for 2 months. We go down in February, March. I'll be hosting intimate workshops down there. And my partner, Joe Ferrara, and I, through Harry James Enterprises, are managing our portfolio. And right now we are building 10 triplexes in Cobourg, 10 apartments in Lakefield, 10 apartments in Omimi, and we'll be doing some apartments up in Uxbridge, Ontario. So we have about 4 or 5 active projects on the go. We have a phenomenal team. People can get a hold of me at harryjamesenterprises.com, and they can follow me. I do little 60-second entrepreneurial inspirational videos at Harry James Live Real on Instagram. So that's my story in a nutshell. I probably went on too long. Hey, Neil, I should shut it off now.
We're going to put all of that into the notes, into the show notes. No, I love it. I love it. And it just shows that, you know, when you get older, you don't need to do less. In fact, you can do more.
May I add this, please? All of you north of 60, my goodness. I think, you know, I'm not being arrogant about this, but my goal is to be healthier and the fittest I've been at 63 than I'm at 62. I'm doing a triathlon this year with my son. I'm doing the 29029 mountain climb with the Jesse Itzler's crew. I'm gonna tell you something, folks. Your body is an amazing instrument. It is designed to live disease-free, with full functionality right through to age 90. That's what the human body's designed for. And we try to screw it up as much as we can with donuts and, you know, processed food. Listen, if you want a great read for your listeners, Dr. Peter Attia's book, Outlive, fantastic journal on how to age well. It's not about lifespan. Who wants lifespan? Who wants to be clinging on by your fingernails hooked up to tubes? We want health span. And the way to get health span at this age and stage of our lives for anybody out there that's north of 60 is by pushing your body every single day, stretching it, getting the most out of it. And I'll tell you, feeling good, being energetic. I'm so thankful, Neil, at 62, I'm as curious and as excited and as passionate as I was at 22. And that's not lost on me. And I'm very, very thankful for that.
Well, listen, in a strong wind, even turkeys can fly. I love it. Well, listen, we got to let you go. I really appreciate your time on and sharing your wisdom, your experience with us. And, you know, I loved hearing you in person, and I look forward to your event in June and your mini Woodstock there.
We love to have you, and it's going to be great.
Love it. Hey, Harry, thank you so much for coming on the show. We really appreciate you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon. And guys, all of this stuff will be in the show notes. So thanks a lot, Harry.
Thank you, Neil. It's a real pleasure to be here. And thank you so much for thinking of me. It means a lot.
Absolutely. All right, guys, that is a wrap. Another episode of the Leadership to Wealth podcast. And we'll see you guys next week.